The Right Question is a production of Montana Public Radio. How does a writer's advocacy influence her novels?
One scene in Alpha Female, I don't actually show the scene, it was so gruesome, but it was referenced. And I took that from a story that this law enforcement ranger told me. And the story is about a poacher who snitched on other poachers. And literally, he had his finger chopped off at one of the bars in town as a message. I didn't make that part up.
Welcome to The Right Question, a program that explores the world of writing and publishing in the Western United States. I'm Will Tilton. Our guest today is April Christofferson. Christofferson has written 7 novels, including 2 ego thrillers. In her latest book, Alpha Female, set in Yellowstone National Park, Christofferson entwines controversial issues like poaching, drilling, and wolf restoration with romance, danger, and intrigue. In addition to novels, Christofferson writes natural history pieces for Yellowstone Discovery, the Yellowstone Association's quarterly publication. She also speaks about wildlife issues and serves on the boards of the Montana Natural History Center and Yellowstone Country Guardians. Stay tuned for more with April Christofferson. And if you're interested in new books by regional authors, that information is coming up later in the program, followed by April Christofferson reading from her novel, Alpha Female.
My last book was about the bison issue. I spend so much time in Yellowstone because my son and his wife are there, and I grew up going to Yellowstone. I honestly don't think I've missed a year in my life. It was probably the greatest gift my parents gave me is every year we came out west, even though I grew up in Chicago. Every year we came to Yellowstone. And then when my kids were growing up in Seattle, every year they went to Yellowstone. And then my son became a ranger there, and I started spending more and more time there. And I had already been writing about issues that mattered a great deal to me. And I was already under contract to write a thriller a year with my publisher, Tora Forge. When I learned about the bison controversy, I honestly didn't know, Cherie, that bison were being slaughtered. As much time as I spent there, it was my son who, when he really became involved in Yellowstone, even before he became a ranger, he spent a summer wolf watching. And he told me about the bison slaughter. And I just, the day I went to visit the Buffalo Field campaign and saw a video, I said, this is what I'm writing about next. And I changed directions at that point from being writing medical thrillers to writing what we now call eco-thrillers, the issues that are closest, dearest to my heart right now are environmental issues. What I describe in Alpha Female is very realistic should there be a serious attempt at drilling close to Yellowstone. And by close, I don't even mean, you know, in the book, actually, it's taking place literally along the border of Yellowstone. But drilling anywhere within that the general vicinity of Yellowstone, and I'm not a geologist, so I couldn't give you distances, but I think anywhere within probably, you know, tens of, or, you know, 100 miles might even have some impact because of the geothermal network underneath Yellowstone. And all it would take is tapping into that network. And that's another issue. There have been the drilling that I'm referring to before, they were attempts to tap into geothermal energy. And of course, that's another possible solution to the energy. People are proposing that as another possible solution is using geothermal energy. And I just, this again is my strong voice against ever attempting to extract geothermal energy from Yellowstone. Thank you. I love writing. I just feel so privileged to be published. And I love to encourage people to write. And I don't think it's about being published. Once I started writing, I thought, you know, I'm going to do this whether I ever get published or not. But for me, what makes my writing especially meaningful and what just drives me and, you know, gives me so much satisfaction is just the ability to bring attention to these issues I care so much about. I was a biotech attorney in Seattle for years, and there were so many issues there that I felt the public wasn't aware of. And it was such a perfect setting for a thriller. And that's, I was under contract to write thrillers. So it was just a perfect way to, you know, to satisfy this need that seems to grow stronger in me as I get older of trying to make a difference and write, which is my passion. I mean, I just love writing. So it's I feel like I'm living a dream.
We'll hear more from April Christofferson in 1 minute. Here's some information for you about new books. Recently published books by regional writers include Below Zero by C.J. Box, and new from University of Nebraska Press, Women Who Kill Men, California Courts, Gender, and the Press by Gordon Morris Bakken and Brenda Farrington. For more information about new books by regional authors, contact your favorite bookseller or library. And here's a quote about writing from Tom Clancy. The difference between fiction and reality is that fiction has to make sense. Now back to April Christofferson reading from her novel, Alpha Female.
After a winter that threatened the survival of the strongest and most tenacious members of a herd, a winter that inevitably left old or weak animals to slowly freeze to death, every spring bison cows gave birth to gangly piles of orange fur. The grizzly mama would emerge from her den with her cubs, scolding them, teaching them, watching over them with a fierce tenacity. Each night the sun would set over the Gallatins and rise again the next morning over the Absorcas. It didn't matter what happened to any one person on this planet. Broken hearts, death, financial woes, despair. Life in Yellowstone, despite its hardships, despite its cruelty, went on. It always returned to the most phenomenal beauty and miracles on a daily basis, moments that took Will's breath away, and that's what kept Will McCarroll going. But for the past 25 years, whenever that sanctity was threatened, inevitably by poachers, Will had had a proven way to respond. He reacted by pouring his heart and soul into tracking the culprits down, bringing them to justice. If he didn't succeed, he worked the case night and day, lived and breathed it, until the next offender came along to keep him occupied and feeling his time in Yellowstone, his life, made sense, that it was worthwhile. But what had happened to Annie Peacock's mother not only represented a new level of threat to his world, the world around which his entire life revolved. So far, Will hadn't been able to do a single thing to stop it, to fix it, to find Eleanor Malone. He hadn't done a single thing to eliminate the possibility that judges like Annie could be scared off the bench. Will did not believe that Annie would cave in to the kidnappers. But if that were the end result of Eleanor Malone's kidnapping, Will's world would be threatened on a scale that he had never even dreamed possible. That prospect was enough to make a man like Will McCarroll a little bit crazy. But Will had to admit to himself that there was more to the unease he felt, the sense his entire world had been rocked. There were his feelings for Annie. Will had closed his heart off years ago. He'd turned inward, become someone more in tune with wild, four-legged, and winged species than his own. Not that he'd spent all his nights alone. It had taken several years after Rachel's death, but eventually he'd allowed himself an occasional fling, preferably a one-night stand. That went on through his 30s and early 40s, inevitably with visitors passing through the park. He'd dated a park biologist early on, and that, having to face someone he simply would not allow himself to connect with on any level other than the physical, had been enough of a disaster to ensure he'd never hook up with someone who worked or lived in the park again. Eventually, by his mid-40s, he decided that even the one-night stands were hardly worth it. Will knew it wasn't a normal existence, but it was the existence he'd chosen, the existence he felt safe with. No connections, no complications, no feelings of any significance, just a steady state, one that Will was comfortable with, one that he could count on. But Annie Peacock had now shaken that world as well. She had evoked emotions Will believed a thing of the past, protective feelings, concern. Her vulnerability and grief pained Will. He'd sworn he'd never have such feelings for another woman, another human being, but they'd snuck up on him with Annie, with this woman who, ironically, until recently, he'd despised. How could the cold, confident woman he'd seen on the bench, the one who'd made a decision that caused Will so much grief and outrage, have such an effect on him? None of it made sense, and Will now wished he could will it all away and return to the world as he knew it before Eleanor Malone was kidnapped. He knew how to deal with that world. This one was a crapshoot.
Our guest today was April Christofferson from the Bitterroot Valley in Montana. The Right Question is produced by Cherie Newman, executive producer Michael Marsalek. Special thanks to Lisa Simon, Barbara Thoreau, David Moore, and Kim Anderson. The Right Question is supported in part by Humanities Montana, enriching intellectual, cultural, and civic life for all Montanans. The music you heard during this program was composed and performed by Michael Blessing, John Floridis, and Spring Hill. You can find more information about April Christofferson, listen to this program again, and read the Right Question blog at the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org.